because he is the best example for practicing biblical separation.
He's the perfect example for everything. So when we see biblical separation, we look at Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ also teaches us how to deal with insults. So let us turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, verse 22 to 32. Matthew chapter 12, 22 to 32. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew chapter 12, 22 to 32. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, I'll begin. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both speak and saw.
And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David?
But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils.
And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand.
And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?
And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges.
But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you.
Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?
He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad.
Wherefore I say unto you, All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men.
Verse 32 together. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. So we see how Jesus was being insulted. He was being called the prince of the devil. So, plainly speaking, he was the son of the devil. How can the son of God be the son of the devil? Plainly, it is lies. It is not truth. So how to deal with insults? We must first know that you cannot be the one who is insulting people. Because we like to insult people. Our mouth like to just go ahead and say bad things about people. So last time, I used to like to insult people because it's very fun, right? It's very fun to look at people and just find any fault. I can insult people based on their appearance. Whatever I see I don't like about you, I'll just insult you. I'll just say, oh, why your hair is like that? Why are you wearing like that? Why are you doing this? So why do we do this? Because it makes us feel good, right? It makes us feel like we are on top of them. It makes us feel big. It makes us feel like, oh, I'm so great and you are so small. But should we do like this? We know the Bible tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the Bible condemns such an action. So this is a warning to us. If all of us who cannot control our tongue, the Bible is warning against you. The Bible tells us that we cannot just allow our tongues to just go ahead, to just say any bad thing about other people. And then now we want to see how we can deal with insults, meaning when we are on the receiving end. Okay, when we receive insults, how should we deal with it? How should we be feeling? Should we sulk? Should we go into depression? Should we allow such things? All this we want to look at. So during the children's camp, there was this girl at the start. She's called Grace Lim. She's a very small girl in the pre-primary. So she came in with her bolster and she calls it Toto. So he calls it smelly smelly. That's in yeah. In Chinese way it's just yeah, it's your bolster.
Yeah.
So she calls it chou chou. And then she goes around telling people, this is my chou chou, this is my chou chou. And then some of them, some of the older ones, they look at her and then they point to the, and then they refer to the chou chou as chou chou. So they just say chou chou to her. And then she felt insulted because she thought that they were calling her chou chou, they were calling her smelly smelly. And then she cried. So we see that, wow, we know that this kind of insult is not based on truth. Because those who said chou chou is not referring to her as chou chou. They did not have the intention to insult her. So there's two circumstances that we want to look at. Firstly, when the truth is being said, some of us may feel insulted. So how is this like? It is like when our parents, our teachers, our friends, our pastors, our leaders of the church, when they scold us, then we feel insulted, right? Because it seems like they say things that are not true. But actually, it's just because of our immaturity. We cannot see the truth. We think we are doing right, but then we are not doing right. We're in the wrong. So when they tell us the truth, when they scold us, sometimes it's not even scolding, it's just telling you the truth with louder voice. Sometimes it's just they raise their voice a bit, and then we think that, wow, why are you scolding me? Oh, I cannot take it. Yeah, this kind of thing. So sometimes we feel like that. But we know that the Bible tells us when the parents spare the rod, they hate their child. So we must see this of our parents, see this of our leaders. If they don't scold us, they are hating us. If they don't scold us, means they don't love us. Means they have given up on us already. But they scold us because they want us to change. They want us to be right. They want us to do good. They don't want us to continue to sin. And then again, the Bible tells us, faithful are the wounds of a friend, and the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So faithful are the wounds of a friend. So if your friend corrects you and tells you that you are wrong, you must listen to him. You cannot say, "Aiya, you don't know one lah. You do your thing, I do my thing, you don't care about me, I just do what I want." Okay, we want to listen to them. If what they are saying is right, we want to listen to them. And again, God tells us that whom he loveth, he will chastise. Meaning he will punish. He'll punish those who those who he loves. Because again, he loves you. He wants to make you right. He wants to correct you. And that's why he punishes you. Sometimes he gives you a little bit of sickness so that you realize that life is not all about health. Life is not all about enjoying your life. Life is that he makes you think about life. What am I supposed to do with this life? What is my purpose in life? I'm supposed to live for God. I'm supposed to serve God, to serve Christ, to be a good testimony, to be a good witness for him. So this is one aspect of how we look at insults. When the truth is being said, but then when we think it as an insult. The other way around is when insults are said. Means when people scold you, when people say bad things about you, and then of course you receive it as insult because it is not truth. They are just lies. So this is what we want to know, how to deal with this type of situation. And this type of situation often comes when people talk about, when those people who are bad, who have wicked intentions, they are evil because they are being used by Satan. They are being used by the devil to cause us to lose our faith. It causes us to be discouraged, to say that, is it all worth it? To live for Christ and then I have to suffer such insults, is it worth it? So these people would continue to tempt you. They'll continue to cause you to think over and over again. But then when we meet with these people, we must evaluate the situation very, very rightly. We must look at it in God's perspective and not our own perspective. And so before we evaluate such a situation, we must know that we cannot be angry. Because very often when people insult us straight away, then we feel very angry, we feel very agitated, we feel very moved, furious. But we cannot feel like that, because the Bible tells us, be ye angry and sin not. So you can be angry, but you don't want to sin. So how to be angry and not sin? We know Jesus was angry, but he did not sin, because he cannot sin. So Jesus, when he saw that the people were selling and trading in the temple, he flipped the tables, he threw all their things outside. So it showed that he was very angry, but he did not sin, because what he did was the right thing. So one day you go into church and then you see people playing games right in the sanctuary, when just 2 minutes before worship service, then what will you do? Of course you tell them, don't do such thing. And then if the pastor is angry enough, he'll take and then throw away. But of course, we don't want to do such thing. So if your parents see you using your phone, and then use your phone so much, and then they call you to do your work, they call you to come and eat, but then you refuse to do, then they have the right to throw your phone, you know. Because Jesus also throw the things of those people. So be careful. Don't do such things, okay? Listen to your parents. So now we look at the two reactions. We want to evaluate the situation now. In light of this passage, how Jesus was insulted, how he reacted, and how we should react, what we can learn from this passage. So for this few morning devotions, I will use these three principles. I'll use these three principles, which is EEE. Evaluate. I will use evaluation. And this evaluation is usually used upon others. So we do evaluation papers, right? To say how good is... Sometimes you have this evaluation to evaluate your teachers. How good is your teacher? How well he teach? So this is evaluate others. And then next, examine. I want us to examine ourselves, to examine self. Lastly, endure. Endure if you're doing good. To endure if you're doing the right thing. And to endure not doing the wrong thing. So this is endurance. We want to evaluate, examine, and endure. So for the rest of the morning devotions, I'll use these three principles. So first, we want to evaluate how the Lord Jesus Christ, when he faced these people, when he faced the Pharisees, when he faced insulters, how did he react? So look at your Bibles. So chapter 12, just now we began reading in 22. Then was brought unto him, which is Jesus, one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both speak and saw. So Jesus did the right thing, right? He healed the blind, he healed the dumb. The dumb is not someone who is stupid, but the dumb is someone who cannot talk. Okay, so he made the blind to see. He allowed the dumb to talk. And then, next, 23. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? So who is the son of David? In the Old Testament, when we talk about the son of David, we talk about the Messiah to come, the one who will reign on the throne for eternity. And so this is always pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this first group of people, we evaluate these two groups of people. So there are two groups of people who are here when Jesus is speaking. So first, we look at this first group. this first group, they look at their, what is their reaction? So their reaction is a good kind, because they ask this sincere question: is this the son of David? Meaning, is this the son of God? Is this the one who will come and save us? So the reaction is very good. So that's why Jesus never scold them. Jesus never do anything to them. So whatever he did was actually to show all the miracles. We must know that all the miracles that Jesus did is for the people's sake. It's to show. It's also for our sake, as we read it. We believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is God himself. So the second kind of people we see are the Pharisees. This is in 24. Verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." So this second group of people are the Pharisees, and they insulted Jesus. He said, "You are casting out by the power of Beelzebub." Beelzebub is, it means Lord of the Flies. So it's just a pagan god. It's just like other religions of during that time. So Beelzebub, the prince of devils, they were insulting Christ. They were saying, "You are the son of the devil." And we know that Jesus did not, Jesus was God. So he knew their thoughts. Look at 25. Jesus knew their thoughts, and Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew that their thoughts, the Pharisees' thoughts, were always evil. They only want to destroy him. Because look at verse 14 of the same chapter. The Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. So the Pharisees only want to destroy Jesus. He want to kill Jesus. He want to persecute Jesus. He want to completely erase Jesus out of this world. So Jesus says that because he knows their thoughts, so he said to them, "Every kingdom," verse 25, "every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?" When we look at a country, if there's riot, if there's unrest in the country, we know that that country is not safe, right? We know now Hong Kong is having a riot. So to go there is not safe. Here, Jesus is using the same example, because he says that when Satan casts out Satan, if Satan destroys those people belonging to Satan, then how shall his kingdom stand? Satan is not so silly, you know. In our minds, we cannot think Satan as very weak. Satan is very powerless. He's very powerful. He was here at the start and he caused men to fall. Therefore, he is very cunning. He knows every way to deceive us. So don't think that Satan is very silly, powerless. So Jesus says, Satan will not cast himself out. Satan will not destroy himself. Satan will just not destroy himself. So Jesus says in verse 27, "And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges." We know that before, in the Old Testament, there were no such occurrence of anyone casting out devils. There are miracles, but there are no casting of devils. Because the miracles are maybe like raising people from the dead and then calling fire down from heaven. All these miracles, but there were no occurrence of one that someone cast out devils. So Christ is saying here that he is casting out devils. And you know that also that at that time the Pharisees, that's why he says, "By whom do your children cast them out?" So at the time of Jesus, in the time of Jesus, there were these people of the Pharisees also, of the Jews. They were pretending to cast out devils. So it was a new thing. It was a new miracle. So if the Pharisees were to accuse Jesus of saying, "You cast out devils, therefore you are using the power of Satan to cast out devil," then they are accusing themselves also. They are speaking about themselves, because So the people of the Pharisees, you likewise, you are the same. You cast out devils, your children cast out devils, those people belong to you. They say that they cast out devils. So are you saying that they also are casting out devils in the power of Satan? So therefore, Jesus is very, very quick, very wise to use this argument against them. So Jesus continues to say, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. So verse 28 and verse 29, we want to examine. We want to examine ourselves in light of Jesus. Because we are always told to be Christ-like. We want to be more like Christ. So as we look at Jesus, we can examine ourselves also. We want to know, are we like that? Are we like Jesus Christ? So Jesus Christ says, he is casting out the devil. He is casting out devils by the Spirit of God. He come in the power, in the name of God, to cast out devils. Why? Because the kingdom of God is come unto you. So Jesus was saying, I come now to bring you the gospel. I come now very close to you. I show you all these miracles. Why? I cast out the devil. I cast out devils. Why? Because I want to share the gospel with you. I want you to believe in me. I want you to believe in the Son of God. To believe that I am come to destroy Satan. And therefore, 29 also it says, or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. So it sounds very confusing, but plainly speaking, it's just, how can you... How can you hold someone down unless you are stronger than him? So I know you all like wrestling and everything, right? In children's camp also, full of boys wrestling each other. So of course, the one who is stronger will always be able to pin down, to hold down the one that is weaker. This is what Jesus is saying. He says, the one that is stronger, so he's referring to himself. He's saying that he is the one stronger coming here to restrain, to hold down, to pin down, to destroy Satan. Because he comes to live, to die for all your sins, to overcome sin and hell, so that you are allowed this salvation grace. You're allowed to go to heaven if you believe in Jesus Christ. And this is what he says to all of us. The kingdom of God is come unto you. So for all those who have not realized that Jesus Christ wants us to believe on him, to learn of him, and to accept him as our Lord and Savior, we must do so. So Jesus knew his purpose to come on this earth. So do we know our purpose? How should we live our life? So when people insult us, it is like people persecuting us. So the Bible tells us, it's not only for you to believe in Jesus Christ, just simple as that. Jesus says that you must follow him. And when you follow Jesus, you will be persecuted by people all around, by unbelievers. They will think that what you're doing is very silly. Why do you need to give up so much to follow Jesus? So we will be persecuted. So we will be insulted. But what is our reaction? Why do we have to endure all these insults? Because it teaches us how to be patient. And when we are patient, we can be a good testimony to others. We can show that because God is patient with us, God loves us, God wants us to come to his saving knowledge, then we, being patient, reflects this attribute, this character of God. So we want to be patient, we want to endure. And that's why it comes to the third principle, endurance. Why should we endure? Because we are doing the right thing. Jesus Christ himself is doing the right thing. We want to endure insults. We want to endure persecution. Because we know that we are doing all this for the sake of Christ. And also for the sake of others. So look at verse 30 to 32. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So we know that there's a very big sin here. There's a very big sin here that speaks of the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. So what is this blasphemy of the Holy Ghost? We know that we don't want to sin like this. We don't want to speak against the Holy Ghost, which is we don't want to speak against God. We don't want to blaspheme God. We don't want to have this mind to always go against God. And this is what it means by blaspheming God. We don't want to take His name in vain. We don't want to continuously break the Ten Commandments. And when we take His name in vain, when we break the Ten Commandments, any one of them, when we break it, we are going against God. So sometimes we know that we are weak, and then we yield to temptation, and we will fall into sin. But we want to quickly turn to repentance. We want to quickly look to God for repentance. So we cannot continue to sin, and not stop. And this is what it means by the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. To continue rejecting God, to reject Christ. So we hear a lot about Christ when we are in church, but then do we follow, do we obey what Christ says in the Bible? So we endure for the sake of others. You know why? Because we endure. Because these people here, the Pharisees, they are how Jesus describes them here. It says that they are in danger of hellfire. They are in danger of going to hell. So those around us, I mean those outside, those unbelieving friends of ours, those unbelieving family members of ours, we want to tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to show them how a Christian should be. Therefore, we must endure these insults, this persecution that they throw at us, that they shoot at us. Because here the Bible tells us that they are in danger of hellfire. And we know how hell is like, right? Hell is a place with eternal fire. It'll be darkness. It'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we don't want them to go into such a condemnation. We want them to be saved. Therefore, we continue to be compassionate. When they insult us, how should we deal with them? We want to understand that they do not have Jesus Christ in them. So they do not have the truth in them. So we want to understand that, and then we want to be very patient with them because they don't know the truth. Unlike us, we hear the truth day in, day out. But they have no truth. Whatever they read of is from the books and teachings that are not from Christian writings. So we also want to be persuasive. We want to endure and to persuade them, to come, ask them to believe in Jesus Christ. We want them to tell them more about Jesus Christ. So for you who come from believing families, your friends, the one who sit beside you, you have to continue to persuade him. Any opportunity that you have, tell him more about Christ. But you don't only just say only. You must also act like a Christian. So you don't, on one hand you tell them, believe in Jesus Christ. Then on the other hand you say, why you like that? Then when they take your eraser, say, why you take my eraser? We want to be patient with them. We want to just give them. Just if they want to take your eraser, just let them take. You can get another one. If they want to keep it, just let them keep it. This is what Jesus tells us also. If they want you to walk with them 1 mile, you walk with them another mile. You go all the way with them. So just do more for them. It's better to do more for them than to not do anything for them at all. So lastly, we want to know that it is to endure is also for our own sake. We want to endure for our own sake. So you look at verse 34. Verse 34, Jesus says to the Pharisees, O generation of vipers, How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So we know that we will be judged based on our works and based on our words. Works and words. So are we doing that which is right? Are we obeying the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we obeying God's commands? We endure for our own sake, because when we continue to obey God, when we continue to see that we are able to conform more to the image of Christ, and then we can be assured, we know that we have true salvation. Because if you just say that, oh, because I go to church, because I sometimes read my Bible, because I am able to memorize prayers and say it out just like that, then I am saved. But it's not. Jesus Christ tells us that your behavior will reflect your heart. So he tells us, don't just look at your behavior on Sunday. Look at your behavior from Monday to Saturday, how you are living your life. And therefore, if we continue to endure, continue to suffer persecution, insults, rightly, then we know that we have true salvation. We know that we are on the side of Christ. So may the Lord help us as we continue to go into this series of how to deal with these emotions and insults. Remember the three principles. We want to evaluate others, examine ourselves, and then endure if we're doing the right. So may the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our loving, most gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for your word to remind us how we ought to deal graciously, deal rightly with those who insult us, to those who persecute us. We know that it is not for us merely to just believe in you, but we know that many will come to destroy our faith. They will come to say bad things about us, but we want to be patient. We want to show Christ in our life, so that those who are outside your kingdom will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So as we continue with this camp, and as we go into a time of prayer, we pray that you look upon us. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now I'll ask some brothers to pray for